Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us tonight, right here on another session of Establishing Your Faith. It is always a good time when we all get together to study God's Word. And the Apostle Paul said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more. And that means we're seeing the day approach, so we're doing it all the more. And thank God that you come and join with us. We're going to be continuing our study tonight on spiritual authority. We'll be finishing up the series by Brother Andrew Womack. It's been a good series. Hopefully it stretched you in a whole bunch of different ways. I hope it has. That needs to happen to every one of us. And I know that every one of us have got a new revelation in God. For those of you who want to grow in God, remember, your notes are due by Sunday night at midnight. For those of you that don't want to grow in God, just don't worry about it.
So there you go.
All right. I can tell the Bible college is coming. It's just not here quite yet. So there we go. Hey, John Wayner's with us. Bless you, man. If you do have a question about spiritual authority or something that one of these teachers have said throughout this week, I encourage you to ask the question, put it in the comments, either on Zoom or on YouTube or Facebook if you're over there. I don't get to see Facebook, but somebody will bring it to me. And we'll do our best to answer that question tonight. Now, I got a really cool story that I got to tell everybody tonight. As you know, they were proclaiming a great blizzard here last night. And this was going to be the end of winter blizzard that North Dakota always claims to get. And I've not called it a blizzard yet. I've just been calling it a winter storm. Yeah, we're going to get some snow. But it was pretty bad last night. They called off all the bar work. They called off all the work. They pretty much shut all the oil wells down. And then the roads have been closed today by the state. And now they're on advised not to drive or something to that effect. And so anyways, one of my friends here, Brother Leo, we talk about him all the time, the man that I met because he carried my Bible into the restaurant. He called me about 1:30 last night. He's like, dude, I got to tell you a story. I'm like, all right, what's up? He goes, well, I told you I was going to go get my friend who was stranded out on US 2. He was stuck. And I was taking my truck out there. I could unload him. Once I got a load on, I'd have weight. I'd be able to pull him out of the snowbank. And he got out here past Pilot, and you turn and you're going on East-West Road. And he got to the top of the hill. He said the snow was so blinding, you could not see a foot in front of the truck. And he just had to pull over and stop and then get out and walk off to the edge of the road to make sure his truck was actually still on the road, but off the road so nobody hit him. And he's just sitting there. He said, I could tell I was at a big intersection, which I probably needed to use to turn around and go back to town because I wasn't going to go any farther. But he said, I couldn't even tell what road it was. I went and tried to find the sign, but he said, I couldn't even find the sign. And so he said, I'm just sitting there saying, well, it's not what I wanted, but I'll just sit here until the snow, you know, dies down a little bit. And then I'll take off and head back to Williston. And just like that, the four-wheel drive pickup pulls up next to him. Two guys, baseball caps, roll their window down like, you all right, buddy? He goes, yeah, I'm all right. Everything's cool. I got fuel. I got everything I need. I just can't see, and I'm not going to keep driving. And they're like, well, okay, we just stopped to check on you, and we got another guy up the road we got to go check on here yet tonight. And so everything's all right. God bless you. They roll the window up, And then that four-wheel drive truck pulls right up into that intersection, makes a big sweeping U-turn, and stops with their headlights pointing right at Leo's truck. And he said, I looked at them and thought, I wonder why they did that. And he said, they didn't move until I followed their track. And then the truck was gone. Two angels.
Hallelujah. I just love that story. It's amazing.
Now, I couldn't see Leo on the phone, but his eyes were that big around, man. You could tell. He's like, because he said, there's no reason. They told me they had somebody go get down the road, and they didn't go there. They turned that big loop, and he said, I followed their tracks perfectly, and it was the perfect turn around to head back to Williston. And he said, as soon as I got my truck turned, they were gone. Now, how do you like them apples?
That is so neat. They love it.
Now, if you ever hear Brother Leo telling the story, make sure you believe what he says. I did my best to tell it to you as the best I could remember. It doesn't do any good to stretch the story any farther than what it actually is. But, you know, I was as excited as he was, because it's like, you know, those angels showed up in a four-wheel drive pickup just for one thing, and that's to make that big turn so that he could know exactly how to get back to Williston. And he drove back, went to the hotel and slept in the bed all night, called his friend, and the guy's like, man, don't come out here. It's horrible. I got lots of fuel. I got food and water. Everything's cool. That's how bad it was, but.
That's so awesome. I love it.
Isn't that a great story?
What a great story, yes. Leo, thank you for that amazing testimony.
Been there, done that when I lived in Williston on the way home from Watford City, yeah? That'd be a rough place to be on the way home from right there, John. Woo! Some pretty good-sized hills in there. Fella kid.
Well, that's where you wound up stuck in that truck stop for 2 days in that one blizzard, wasn't it? On the way home from Watford. Yeah,
yeah, but I'm not offended, so don't bring up the offense, okay? All right, well, thank God we've been hearing all kinds of testimonies. Brother John, we shared your testimony last night. Don't know if you was here or not, but glory be to God. We're all shouting glory with and for you. All of our friends on YouTube, welcome. I think we're ready to start, Brother Andrew here. We got three sessions to get done, and then I'm going to preach or answer questions, whichever comes first.
Hallelujah.
So here we go. Get your paper and your pen and your Bible and take some notes, because they're due on Sunday night. We're in Genesis 3, Daniel 9, Isaiah 64, 2 Corinthians 4. Hallelujah. It's going to be a good night. Brother Andrew Womack, I hope you enjoy him, because we do. And thank you, Jesus, for an amazing man of God like Brother Andrew Womack. Mary Pastorick, decided to be here on time. Good job, Mary. Love you. Here we go. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, man.
That's awesome. Video. President. Zero. Zero.
Now, everybody turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, because I'm going to give us a verse of scripture right now that matches this. And remember, if you believe you have a ministry of intercession, it's not in one of the gifts of the Spirit, and it's not in one of the gifts of the Father or the Son. However, God has called many people to be very specific in their prayers and intercede. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. Now, I'm doing this on purpose because I want to see us all. We have a daily prayer program. Remember what the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. And hold on, let me do something here. I don't know what I did. You got to do something. There we go. No? There we go. All right. Andrew's not saying don't ever pray something through in God, but we don't have to break a hole in heaven. Because the Bible says, come boldly by the blood of the Lamb. We come boldly to the throne room of grace. Well, Jesus is in here, and the Father's in here. I've been teaching it now for a long time. Look at the verse. And you being dead in your trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses, all of them, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. He has taken all of that out of the way, nailed it to the cross. You're redeemed. You're bought back by the price of Jesus' blood. Look at 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus already did it. There is nothing that you and I have to do yet, except anytime the enemy shows up, pin him to the mat, crush his head. There's nothing else to do. Jesus already did it. Right here is your verse, 15. May he disarm principalities and powers. He disarmed them. If they're disarmed, that means they have no armament that works against you. So Ephesians chapter 6 says that you may be able to stand against all the trickery of the enemy, because until you get involved with your lips or your actions with the enemy, he has no power over you whatsoever. Now, what about spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is this. We stand in the gap. We make up the hedge. We stand before God. We call out our name, and we declare the word of God. Thy will be done on this earth in my children's life as it is in heaven. I have the promise of my children to 1,000 generations. Children, come to God right now tonight. You are doing spiritual warfare, but you don't have to go over there to their house, grab them by the shirt collar, drag them down the aisle of the church, and lay them over the altar. It's out of order. That's not how it works. But what you and I do with one prayer, we bind the enemy, and the enemy's bound. If after we've bound the enemy, we act like we haven't bound the enemy, we got to get into James chapter 5, verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Brother Terry Mize says he never goes on a mission trip anywhere around the world, but what he prays it through first in the realm of the Spirit. He prays in his heavenly language about that trip and proclaims every part of it done, the workers, the money, the passports, the airplane, health, the weather, all everything coming together. He prays it all through in the realm of the Spirit first, and then he goes. And he never has a problem. Comes back after having the greatest success and blessing and God's abundant blessing in his life. So our only challenge is we got to do what the Bible says in the New Testament. That verse by that he prayed about David. Don't cast me away from your presence. He ain't never going to cast you away from your presence. You got to get up and go away yourself. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit never leaves. When you sin, you drag the Holy Spirit through it. That's why it's a crazy thing when people say, well, it's all right if I sin. No, it's not. No, it's not. Well, Pastor, God loves me. Yes, he does. But he's already made you his righteousness, and therefore you don't ever have to do it again. It's a revelation. Watch. Hebrews 10. How much, 10:29, how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy? He who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. That's what happens when you and I say, well, I can't, there's nothing I can do. I just sin every now and then. Well, what you can do is get the revelation that when you got born again, you were as righteous as God. God gave Jesus his righteousness. Jesus gave us his righteousness. Jesus makes us into his righteousness. And therefore, righteousness is your nature. It is your very nature. In Jesus' mighty name. Now that I've gone to preaching, when that says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities, we wrestle a defeated, already crushed, nailed to the cross in hell enemy. He is disarmed. Now that you've won the victory, speak boldly in his name, and then don't ever change your statement. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. And there's going to be days when you're going to be like, all right, where did all this truth go, Pastor? It's just the cares of the world going to be in your face. They're in my face. Today was one of them. I'm like, why am I sitting here? I got a truck. I need to make money. I got to go. No, sit down and sit still and relax. Know this. You are already as righteous as God himself when you're born again. Now, we just got to get your consecration level to that point. That's all. The revelation of the righteousness and then the determination for consecration. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Here we go. Number 23. This is session number 23. This one and one more.
Welcome.
Thank
On the believer's authority. Now, everybody turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Romans 5, 15 through 21. And let's read this. Let's read this real quick, because it's what we ended up on last time, and I'm going to read it. Romans 5, 15 to 21. Now, the guy just spit a big old chew of tobacco in Andrew's face because God didn't listen to his prayers, but he knew that he would listen to Andrew's prayers. The host has requested that you turn your video on. Thank you, host. There. Is that better? Anybody seen Brother Roger? We're missing you, brother. Evening, Rebecca. It's good to have you. Mary, good to have you. Did I see Sunday somewhere? Is she here with us? Bless you, Sunday. Look at this. Romans 5, 15 through 21. Five times in Romans 5 that the Holy Spirit speaks through Paul and says that righteousness is a free gift, not an action that you do. 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, how much more the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. It's a free gift. Righteousness is a free gift. It's not how you act. Once you receive the free gift, it will definitely affect how you act. 16. The gift is not like that which came to the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. You might want to write this in your Bible right there. Justification. Just as if I never sinned. That's what justification is. Just as if I never sinned. The free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification, but you have to receive it. 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness? But he's called it a free gift in another verse, so you might as well call it, and the free gift of righteousness. Now watch what will happen. When you get this, you will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. When you get the revelation of the free gift, you start to reign. No longer a servant like the prodigal son and his brothers were before he left. They were both servants out in the field. When he got back, he's still a servant out in the field. And the father's like, I just want both you guys to get out of the field and quit acting like a servant and be a son. 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life, just as if you never sinned in your life. Hallelujah. 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, not yours, not mine, many will be made righteous. Not you doing the work. You're made righteous.
Thank you, Jesus.
20. The law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Quit trying to make your righteousness how good you can act, because you're just looking like a religious nut. Righteousness comes from God. He gave it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to us. And literally, these verses are teaching us, he made us into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, who is in, excuse me, in you. Want to say it? I am righteous because of Jesus. Number 24. Here we go. Amen. Amen. teaching the truth. Yeah, come on. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, man.
There he is.
Watch this. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Let's read those verses he was reading. John 8. And we're going to go to the reference point is 21 to 47, but we won't read that many, but here we go. John 8, now watch this, because he just said, the revelation we got to get is, when you know the truth sets you free. Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, you'll seek me, and you will die in your sin. That's pretty straight. I don't think Andrew was quite that straight tonight. Where I go, you cannot come. He's talking to the scribes. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. He said to them, you are from beneath. He just told them, you're from hell. I am from heaven. I love it. You are of this world. I am not of this world. This is really good. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sin. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He's telling them, I'm the Christ. You're going to have to believe it. Now watch. Then they said to him, well, who are you? Jesus said, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. What did Jesus say? I only say what I hear my Father say. They didn't understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man and put him on a cross, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. You and I got to get out of ourself and realize our whole life is about Jesus on the inside. And if he doesn't show you something to go do, keep doing what you've been doing. And if he doesn't give you something to say, keep your mouth shut. Just because there's a space of silence doesn't mean that you and I got to speak and say something in it. Two things happen when we do that. Number one, we end up just saying a bunch of stuff, and the Bible says in a multitude of words there will be something. Or we begin to speak and tell our own insecurity. Or number three, we lead people astray and get them to follow after our religiosity rather than speaking the word that he gives us to speak that transforms everybody's life. I love to talk. I am a talker to the core. Once my dear friend Jerry Meadows got me free from the timidity of not talking and being a bashful person, I've never stopped talking. I'm a talker. But I am learning. There's a lot of times it's best to just not say anything, because all of a sudden what we're going to do is just say something and be rattling our lips. And then now we got to give an account of that to God. And Jesus said, every idle word you speak, you're going to have to give an account of those idle words. Now, nobody freak out. Just keep with me. You know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak those things. 29, he who sent me is with me. Just like God and Jesus is with you, the Father was with Jesus on this earth. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And he spoke, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. 31, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Abiding in the word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, make you free. I have literally, times in my ministry life, taught the simplest, most stable, most solid doctrinal teaching on a specific subject, whether it's healing or miracles or faith or victory or deliverance or righteousness. I've taught the most stable, solid message, very simple. Everybody grabbed a hold of it, and then somebody opens up their mouth and says, well, yeah, I know that's what you taught right now, Pastor, but I don't see it that way. I see it this way. Well, that is not of God to do that. That's not of God. You just said, I know you taught all that, but I'm different. I'm special. Well, no, he just showed it to you in the word, and nobody gets to go above this word. You got to be careful that when you say that, you're not just trying to toot your own trumpet and tell your own thing rather than saying, wait, Jesus, help me come to this level of truth so that I can walk in that level of freedom. Watch what happens. 33, they answered him, we're Abraham's descendants. Never been in bondage to anyone. They totally missed it. How can you say we'll be free? Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And they didn't want the Son to make them free. They wanted the law. They wanted to live by the law. I know you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father, which is we're going to kill you. They answered, Abraham's our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man who's told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham didn't do this. I know him. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded from and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why don't you understand this? Why? Because their eyes were darkened, their mind was darkened, their heart was darkened, and they had no ability to see because they were stuck in their religiosity, resisting the truth when the truth is being laid out right in front of them. Now, I got one more video I'm going to play, and it's not of Andrew. Because I was studying last night after the program was done, since I was home, sitting here bored. No, I wasn't bored. I found a great message by John Osteen. I found a whole bunch of them this last week. I've been saying to God, Lord, I really would like to have some of Dr. Osteen's, Brother Osteen's teachings, like CDs and stuff. But of course, you can't get very many of them. And so, man, all of a sudden, here they are showing up on YouTube. And thank God for this. Now, look at this script. Look at this teaching. How to boldly confess the word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's going to give you a verse that is a powerhouse verse right at the beginning. So we're going to open our hearts, our minds, our understanding. And this is how to boldly confess the word of God in our life. Brother John Osteen, 26 minutes.
I'm going to believe God that he's going to do something. Yes, my truth. the window.
On your staff. I use my mouth if you want to. I'm doing this. And then he says,
You gotta love 80s music, don't you? I think that's just cool. Well, there. If you don't feel like you've been taught yet today, then we gotta figure out another way to teach it, because wow, have we had some good word today. I love that verse of scripture. He has said, so we may boldly say. He has said it. So that we might boldly say it, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my Savior. The Lord, and you go right down the list of the seven things that he just gave us. And powerful confession that every one of us should be making every single day. Can you imagine God in the new covenant making it difficult? He doesn't. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But what is his yoke? Learn of me. That's Jesus' yoke. You got to open up this book. You got to read the words on the page. You got to write them down in some notes. You got to organize them in a thought process that makes sense to you in your personal life. And then you need to begin to boldly confess them. Boldly confess them. Why? God said it so that you and I may be able to boldly say it, because when we boldly speak it, there's nothing that our enemy can do in any way to ever stop us from boldly speaking out the word of God. There's nothing he can do. It is impossible for him to stop the boldness of a believer. I'm going to take us to one of my favorite verses, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and that caused Jesus to look at those scribes and Pharisees and said, you are of your father the devil and you're going to hell. That same spirit is inside of you and me. Not to be nasty, not to be belligerent, not to be coarse and harsh, but to be unafraid to speak the truth of God's word. Only you and I can judge the effect that our words are having on other people by causing ourselves to look at their face. The book of Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, cut that edge and it sharpens it. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. But you got to look at what's coming out of your mouth. And is it actually sharpening your friend, or is it being an abrasive force because your heart is wrong while you're saying it? Man, we got some good word tonight, because what God's doing is taking this group of believers to the next level, so that what we got going on here doesn't just have 150 subscribers, it's got 1,500 subscribers and 10,500 subscribers. And this message of faith and his yoke is easy and his burden is light, getting out to this world in a great and powerful way. He didn't call us to just sit here with 10 or 15 of us. That's not the call of God. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it is impossible, if all of us are talking to our friends, it's impossible for this to not explode. Because when they see why you're delivered, they're going to come for the same deliverance. And that's what you and I got to look at our life and say, hold it. How many people are actually following me in my life? If you have to look at yourself and say no one, you might have to look in the mirror and say, what do I have to change about me? Because every one of us are supposed to have a group of friends that we are bringing to the things of God and growing and developing together, helping them to be able to be set free and transformed. Even if you say, well, I don't have any friends, that doesn't matter. The fields are white unto harvest everywhere around us, every day, everywhere we go, the fields are white unto harvest. Ask God to send you to someone or send someone to you so that you can begin to be a disciple maker in their life. Like, check it out. My friend Leo, who's, I just told the story about the angels at the beginning of the program. Those two angels that came and helped him last night out here in the blizzard. That man became one of my friends and someone that I'm helping to disciple in the things of God, because he saw me carry my Bible into a restaurant. I've carried my Bible in a restaurant every time I come around, every time I go to a restaurant here, just about. Sometimes I wondered why I did it, because I would go in and sit down and eat, and I'd never open it up. That day, when I carried my Bible in that restaurant, Brother Tim Brown was with me, and he got up and left early, went back to work, and I was just sitting there in the booth, and I think I might have actually opened it up that day finally and just read something. But then I stood up to leave, and he said, hey, man, is that a Bible in your hand? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you're carrying a Bible in the restaurant with you. I'm like, yeah, I am. So I sat down at his table and began to talk to him about the things of God. And he was a believer when he was a child. You know how life is with people and confusion and things. That day, he went out and bought a Bible. And since that day, has read his Bible through 2.5 times. Why? Because I carried my Bible into the store, into the gas station. I mean, no, into a restaurant. And he saw it and asked me about it. And it gave him the boldness to begin to enter in. And I just continually share the word of God with him and bless him. He's a blessing to me. We're out here doing the same thing, so we encourage one another in the Lord. The other day, when first day I was driving my truck, the first load I got, I'm like, Brother Leo, let's go have supper together, brother. And thank you for all your faith and your prayers for me and our family. And we're sitting at the table. I turn my app. I'm like, well, watch, brother. Right here while you and I are together, I'm going to get my first load. And bam, there it was. Got the load. Off we went. How did it happen? I wasn't out preaching hellfire and brimstone. I carried my Bible into a restaurant. Did I know him? No. No. You see, God has people all around us. If we'll let him, he'll bring them to us so that we can begin to help them find and know the truth and the truth setting free. And then, like we have seen right here in this, in our program, then you can get the Book of Revelation series from Dr. Hilton Sutton. You can begin to right there in your home and share it with them. And it would be a blessing to them, and you would begin to help them see and understand who God is. And then Grab some of our videos on the righteousness of God. It's one of the most misunderstood doctrines in the kingdom of God today. There's a lot of people that understand it, but there's a whole bunch of people that don't. They still think their righteousness is about how good they can act and how big of a determination they can make and how I've made a decision I'm going to do right. I don't have nothing to do with your righteousness. I don't mind being bold. That's what I was told. And when Brother Kim Welland said, that ain't right. Listen, look at this word. He began to show it to me. I was set free from so much confusion and fear and frustration and have never been back to that level of bondage another day in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for the deliverance because I know the truth and the truth sets me free. In Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful, holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Now, in all of this, we'll take about 5 minutes. If any of you get a word from this tonight by the Spirit of God that was a great revelation to you, we're being very focused for the next 5 minutes for you to say something. And I'm serious about it. I want us to learn for how all of us can come together and lift ourselves and lift each other up to the next level in God. And we receive your gift, you receive our gift, and we move up together in the things of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Watching the mic. All right. Well. Here we go. Not trying to force anybody to say anything. What I want us to do is I want us to learn. No, let me say it differently. What the Holy Spirit is saying for this body of believers to do is to learn to speak only what we hear him speak to us so that those words will be filled with life transformation and everyone who hears us will be like, wow. It's called a gift of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, revelation. And the whole point of this is so that this time isn't just the time of jabbering, talking. There's nothing wrong with that if that's the proper thing to do for that time period. That our words would not only elevate you and me to the next level, but it would bring other people that's around us and help them raise up to the next level. And one of the things we've got to learn is like Jesus. I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And I'm going to be more focused on this than I've ever been before, because this time together is here to set people free and transform lives and promote every one of us to the next level of God that he has for all of us. Because until the day we decide we've had enough and we head over to the other side, we're supposed to be going wide open, full steam ahead, bringing lots of people to Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. Let's do our communion verses now. It's that time of the night. We always receive communion together. This is Saturday night. And thank God for that. Thank God for great week. This has been a great week. Now, tonight, in the YouTube video that we just put out, I added the links for today's program. So So I got a link to this John Osteen message in there. I got a link for Andrew Womack's three messages in that, in the notes of the YouTube video for tonight. So if you're like, I want to find those videos, they're in tonight's YouTube video. Look in the notes. The top of the page, when you open a YouTube video, it'll give you a see more, right? With the title, it'll say see more. Click that, and in there, you'll actually find the YouTube link, so you could actually click right on that link and go right to the video. Now, I want to encourage you in this. I say this all the time, and some of you are getting it, but get it. Do this. Go study these messages again. Write notes out. Write the verses down. Begin to speak them. And when they mean something to you, put a timestamp in on this video so that other people who come are like, man, that's a powerful statement. They'll look in the comments and there will be your timestamp and they'll click on it and guess what? They'll go there and be like, wow, that's a powerful statement. The next thing you know, there'll be 45, 50 people that have clicked on that link that you have put in there, which is a timestamp, and it takes them right back to that same statement again. You will perfect it. You will grow it. You will develop it. It'll not only help you, it'll help the next person that comes. Don't just sit and watch videos. That's not God. This is designed to take you to the next level in God. So we can grow and we can develop in him, in Jesus' mighty name. Of course, you'll watch a video. But don't just sit and watch it. Begin to enter in, James said. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer also. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 31. These are the verses on communion. And this is one of the greatest teachings on communion from the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself came to Paul and said these words. Jesus himself showed up to Paul and gave him these words. Paul said, I was trained by God in the wilderness. And this is what he said, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he'd given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself. This is the process. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. You can go into all sorts of formalities and ritualisms about communion and have everybody kneel a certain way at the altar, and you know, all the stuff that they do. And guys, none of that is as important as you and I examine our heart and see where we're at in God. He should speak to us on a regular basis when we examine our heart. And then let us receive the elements together, knowing that his blood has ransomed and redeemed and justified, cleansed, purged, delivered, filled, and actually made us into his righteousness. Amazing. 1 John chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Love, God's love, has been perfected among us, the whole world, in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. That's what we just read, verse 31. As he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. Perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it. Why? Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. There's no fear. And right now, I declare in Jesus' name that no matter what trauma, no matter what, trauma and the torment, that's what John called it, torment, has ever happened in your life, from our lesson about spiritual authority, we bind that trauma in your life tonight. And we declare whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You're freed from the effects of that trauma. And now the fear is released and you're able to just receive together with us. Well, what are we going to do? The next thing we're going to do is pray the prayer of salvation. Well, I had it right here. I want us to all be able to say it together at the same time. I'm continually working on this, on these things, fine-tuning them so that our process will be that much more effective. So, here's the prayer of salvation. Everybody, speak it together with me. Those of you that are with us online, when you finish praying this prayer in about 2 minutes, if you mean this from the depths of your heart, you will be born again. You will be saved. You will become a child of Jesus. All of the things we teach, it'll happen in the next 2 minutes. You'll be right with God. Pray this with me. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God and you rose again on the third day. Whoops. Reach out your hands and just receive him to you and say it. I receive all of your grace and mercy. All of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me, and I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen and hallelujah and amen and glory be to God. Now, think about that. Everything we just prayed just happened in your life. That fast. Why? Because at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus said, it's said of Jesus by John, by the Holy Spirit. He came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. Now, you just said, I receive him. And when you did, he just filled every part of your life. Now, I always have it say, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I added the word baptize me because that's actually what it says about Jesus. Because he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's what Acts chapter 1 says about Jesus. So let's just say that in our confession. But here's the revelation of it. There's a lot of people that will join with us, and they're believers, but they've never prayed that prayer, fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire. Some people say, well, that's too much to do all in one night. No, it isn't. He's more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you even are to ask. So that means we might as well just go ahead and ask and then let him fill us. Now, you might say, Pastor, I can tell something's going on inside. You're right. You move from darkness to light. You move from fear to faith. You move from your sin to his righteousness in one prayer, 2 minutes long. Why? Because it doesn't take God all day to get done what he brought Jesus to this earth and spent 33 years teaching him how to obey to the point of death. And then he did it and he went to hell and destroyed the devil and rose from the dead and gave you and I life victorious. Tore the veil of the temple. That's why that teaching that Brother Andrew is doing tonight is so good. People who say, I got to rend a hole in the heavens. Jesus ripped the veil of the temple to the Holy of Holies and everyone could go in. Everyone can go boldly because of Jesus' blood. And so when you do your spiritual warfare, know that God's right here. Like you said, why do you look down when you pray? So you can see God. Why? He's in here. He's in here. In Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, welcome to the kingdom. Get you a Bible. I recommend you get the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, New King James Version. It's a very, very powerful set of Bible study aids. There's no doctrine in this book. It's no doctrine. There's verses that correlate to other verses. That's what this whole book is. It's one of the greatest concordances you'll ever find in the kingdom. And it has nobody's commentary to lead you astray from what does the word actually say. Thank God for Wesley. Thank God for Finney. Thank God for Moody. Thank God for Whitfield. Thank God for Brother Osteen, Oral Roberts, Lester Summerall, all these great men. But guess what? They've all shared with you and I the doctrine that they saw and the revelation God gave them. And now you and I come and stand on their shoulders and we see a new level of God. And then the next generation comes and stands on our shoulders and they'll see a new revelation of God. God was the same the whole time, but he was trying to get us up out of that pit where we were at, and thank God for it. That's why I like this, because all this is doing is showing you a whole bunch of verses. And you'll be like, what does it say about regeneration? You go in the back, look up regeneration. It'll give you a bunch of numbers, a bunch of verses, and you go look, and you'll find regeneration all the way through the whole Bible. And it'll help you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And that's the stories of Jesus' life and the beginning of the church where we are today. And then click like, subscribe, and hit the bell and join with us, part of what we're doing right here every time we come here. You know, I can see that God's taking us to another level, and he wants to do some greater things through us. So I encourage every one of you to be saying every day, praying, Father, help me see where you're going with our ministry so I can be there and be on the cutting edge in Jesus' mighty name. Get your communion elements out. Get you some bread, some grape juice. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So that's why he told us grape juice. Don't just say, oh, it don't matter. No, it does matter to him. It does matter. There's an order here. He's the vine. We're the branches. And so get you some grape juice and do it like he says. Get you a cracker. Get you some bread. Learn to do what the Bible says so that you can get what it says we can have. That'll be a blessing. Certainly, if you don't have any of that on you, that's understandable. What am I saying? Learn to make it available in your life for yourself so that what he says to do, we can actually say, I'm doing it, not just shrugging our shoulders saying, I don't matter. It's just communion. No, this is his broken body and his blood that was shed. You ready? Whoops. Hold on. You got to get this habit down. Nope. What did I do? Try it again. There we go. Hold on. Almost there. Here we go. Can you see those words?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Hold your elements up and say this with me. As you instructed your disciples, Jesus, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. You were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life
now.
Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread your body broken now in Jesus'
name.
Amen. Let's receive this bread together. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful work that you did in our lives. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now, grape juice, I bless this grape juice in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption to Christ and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation. Recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. by your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, I overcome. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me
or my family.
By your blood, Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the juice now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive it together. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I want to sing that song. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood of Christ. Glory to your name. Now, I want us to just raise our hands and just pray together in the Holy Spirit for a little bit. You can see the Holy Spirit is leading us that way. Let's just do that. If you've never prayed in the Holy Spirit before, now's a good time to say, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. I receive my prayer language now. It's one of the things that the Holy Spirit has been talking to me about, is helping to make sure everyone around us is filled with this, actually flowing in their Holy Spirit language, because it gives you so much greater place of breakthrough and understanding than you realize is even possible, because it's a language that only heaven understands. Let's pray together now. Father, in Jesus' name, we enter in to this time of prayer with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare, pray in the Holy Spirit tonight. Ando se bene mande la shodeka, ando rela mas andandide be balakista la mande kulimada. Engrando somba la vite beka. Enanon de ba, brode ba sibala, monde shakila. Onde masakiba le manke di bonde di basa. Oh, we worship you, we honor you, we adore you, we glorify your holy name, Jesus. Ando strand the claim a kiss of it. Omenando balabasitim in a comedy won't you come? You said building up ourselves in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves in the Shone Mondekla, Kidebene Balone Kurasha. And on Nanda Desum Banda Levalaba Kule Basaka. And have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Lead us, lead us. Take us, grow us, develop us, establish us greater ever seen before. in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Now, you may have never heard anybody pray in the Holy Spirit language before. It's okay. Some people would say, well, you can't do that. You don't have an interpreter. I wasn't praying it as a prophetic utterance. I was praying it as a way to lead all of us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, no different than many times in a church. The pastor will say, let's all pray for this prayer request, and everybody prays at the same time in English. Well, you can't understand what everybody in the whole church is saying. It wasn't designed for you to understand them all. Neither was that prayer right there. That was just me building up myself, you building up yourself in your most holy faith. That is how these verses that we read, Jude verse 20, that's how that is. What we just showed you is how you do that. And here's the amazing part about it. It's available for you all day long, 24/7, 365. You can build up yourself in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. And what a powerful force it is that the Holy Spirit of God lives in, empowers you to speak a language to God that nobody else has any ability to understand. Now, I want us to read our closing verses, because the greatest verses about spiritual authority, well, I don't know. Can't say the greatest. Some of the greatest verses about spiritual authority is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. And we've been doing this the last couple nights this week. So here we go. You got those verses, Phyllis? All right, here we go.
Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling.
Amen.
What are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand at the heavenly places, in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
I love that last verse. Of course, I love them all, but which is his body, the fullness of him. As the body of Christ, we are the fullness of Christ on this earth. Get that revelation. Go ahead.
And you don't mind if I read some more of chapter 3, verse 19, 20, and 21.
Amen.
To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Ready? Put your arms out and say, we reap every soul for the kingdom.
We reap every soul for the kingdom.
Even those in the 7 years of tribulation.
Even those in the 7 years of tribulation.
Wow. Come to Jesus now.
Come to Jesus now.
Lift your hands up and say, I receive my hundredfold return.
I receive my hundredfold return.
That belongs to me because I was here tonight.
That belongs to me because I was here tonight.
I receive it from you, Jesus.
I receive it from you, Jesus.
And we put it into the kingdom to preach the gospel.
To put it into the kingdom to preach the gospel.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. Those of you that's been with us on Blog Talk Radio, we call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Remember this, as I've said many times, if you want to put this in your own native language, give me a call. God's given me a plan, and I would love to help you get that happening in your language where you are so that they can get the revelation of what's being said, and you can help me get that done, and I can help you get that done in Jesus' mighty name until we see you again tomorrow at noon Eastern right here on Blog Talk Radio and on YouTube. This is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.